everyone, it's Chloe, and I'm so excited to share something fabulous with you, Vogue's first ever global fashion community, Vogue Club. Our members get to mingle with Vogue editors, yes, including me, and fellow fashion enthusiasts at exclusive events around the world. And that's just the start. Membership opens doors to the fashion industry, bringing you expert career advice and insider style and beauty tips. What are you waiting for? Head over to Vogue.com/membership to join, and here's a little treat. Use code TRT20 and snag 20% off your membership. That's TRT20 for 20% off your ticket to Vogue Club. Are you in? This is The Run Through. I'm Chloe Mao.
And I'm Taylor Antrim in Choma's chair today.
Oh, that was a nice alliterative Choma's chair.
I learned alliteration from the best, and that would be you, Chloe.
I get so much editing feedback from Taylor about my alliterations.
I'm an anti-alliterative editor.
We know.
Let's let the record show.
On today's show, we have a conversation with the absolutely divine Gillian Anderson.
Yeah, we love Gillian Anderson. Her new film, Scoop, is out on Netflix today, and it tells the story of the infamous BBC Newsnight interview with Prince Andrew that led to him stepping back from royal duties. And Gillian Anderson plays the BBC Newsnight reporter, Emily Maitlis, who interviews Prince Andrew,
and she's so fabulous at it, and like walks around in like a high-neck military collar with a whippet following her off-leash. It's fab.
She steals the movies.
I love her adjacency to the royals and her IMDb lists.
Yes, it's true. Eleanor Roosevelt, not a royal, but, you know,
Wallace
Simpson, Margaret Thatcher. She is in the Wig Olympics.
Love.
Yeah.
Hi, now, I'm Jose Adams.
Yes, I'm sorry. We jump ahead. Yeah. We are joined today in our headlines with the one, the only, El Jose Criales, Unzueta.
Hello.
Vogue Runway writer extraordinaire, who we want to chat with about Shanghai Fashion Week, which he is hot off the airplane from. But first, it was a big week for all sporting games. Taylor?
It's really a sports meets fashion week, should we say?
Okay.
With Angel Reese announcing her going to the WNBA on none other than Vogue.com. Tell us about that story, Chloe.
We were very excited. This was something that came to us a few months ago. Angel's team reached out. We got really excited about it. Our style director, Leah Faye Cooper, had actually interviewed Angel many years ago for Teen Vogue, which I thought was really a charming full circle. And they were really thrilled to work with her again. And we decided, you know what? This is going to be a news moment. Let's, like, go big. Let's send a stylist we love, Naomi Elize. And we had a great photographer, Miles Lofton. And they went to Baton Rouge, where she was playing for LSU, and squeezed the shoot in with amazing, sort of wonderful fashion pics.
She looks so good in the pictures.
She looks so good. She loved it. She was such a treat to work with.
And we love breaking news on Vogue.com.
Love breaking news. Vanessa Friedman wrote about it.
She did. I mean, we were just talking about the Serena Williams announcing her retirement in Vogue. So all you athletes who want to announce things.
This is your PSA.
Bang our lines.
And then our other news of the week, sports-wise, is this week the dishy profile of Yannick Sinner, right hot on his win in Miami at Indian Wells.
Yes, the Italian tennis player. He's on a huge winning streak. You know what his nickname is, Chloe? The Fox.
Oh, that's cute.
Which is really a gesture to his red hair, famous red hair. And the other thing about his red hair is, you know what his super fans are called?
The Foxes?
The Carota Boys.
Oh, yes, I do know that.
Shout out to Nick Remsen for that story.
Oh, yeah, he did write about that.
And they dress as carrots at his game.
So anyway, I knew this.
This is
all well-themed time for Easter. What was the scoop from the interview?
Well, he started as a pro skier, which I guess the superfans know. The Carota Boys certainly know. But I don't think a lot of us do know that. And he grew up in Italy and skied in the Dolomites as, like, age 12. He was going to be, like, the top pro skier in Italy. And instead, he chose tennis. And I thought that was really fascinating. I didn't know that about him. But he's mostly just super charming, speaks, like, adorably broken English, and is, like, game. But there's also Caitlin Clark fever going on.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's true.
And more people are watching women's college basketball than, like, ever in history.
Than men's, it seems like. I'm not watching either, so I can't really tell you.
Same. I'm like, go sports.
And, you know, we've got the Olympics on the horizon. We're talking a lot about Olympics here at Vogue.
So that's true.
It feels like a big sort of sports and fashion-y moment we're living through.
It's true.
Yep.
Okay, Jose, we want to hear the full Shanghai Fashion Week lowdown.
And what's the scene like? Is it just crazy? I mean, is there a lot of, like, street style and, like, people outside the show?
It's actually, what's really fun about Shanghai Fashion Week is that it's pretty young in contrast to all the other fashion weeks. It's like 21 years old. You know, like if you go look through street styling, like New York or Paris or London or Milan, you see the same few people.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the same editors. It's the same sort of like buyers that go from show to show. Here, the people that are wearing the brand are not paid to wear the brand. They're wearing their own clothes.
And is there a Beijing Fashion Week? Like, is this the Fashion Week in China?
So it's become sort of like the Fashion Week in China that has the most attention globally, but it's not the only one.
Sounds cool that it feels a little bit more organic and like grassroots. Yeah.
It's very that. And I think it's also like a lot of the designers are much younger. And like what I really love about it is that all these designers are friends, or for the most part, they're friends. So last season I got to meet them and they all hang out with each other. So now this season, they were also my friends, you know, and it's just like they all go to the same after parties. They go to like, we all go to karaoke together. It's almost like, you know, we're all sort of, it just becomes a little bubble that I think is quite exciting.
What was the top show?
I did love one off-calendar show, actually, Samuel Gay Young. He came back to Shanghai Fashion Week and to the runway since like July 2022 or something like that. But his show was beautiful in the sense that like he grabbed a lot of traditional Chinese garments and gave them a very beautiful, sophisticated twist. You know, he cut like some chungsams in like bias cut silks, like the way Galliano would do like a bias cut silk dress, you know, or like a slip.
What would you say is your like number one Shanghai tourist recommendation?
Is it karaoke?
It's 100% karaoke.
Awesome.
I mean, it's just...
they take it so seriously, right?
And it was, it's so fun.
What's your song?
Well, it depends. I do love a Britney moment.
Which one?
Lucky. This is a story about a girl named Lucky. I'm the girl named Lucky. Then I do love that. I love a torn... Or like unwritten.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
You love that too, I can imagine.
Totally.
I mean,
totally.
It gets everyone going, but yeah, it really depends. It really depends.
Torn is like, such a good call.
Right?
Is there a lot of range on that though?
Yes.
Okay,
oh, wow.
Okay. So you can much. Sing.
Exactly.
What's your karaoke song, Chloe?
Yeah, what is your karaoke song?
I'm not allowed to say Michael Jackson anymore, right?
Oh my God.
I'm screaming.
I like Beat It.
Beat It is your karaoke
song? That is such a period.
That is so on brand. I can't even tell you.
With her moccasins.
Yeah.
What's yours?
So my triumphant moment in karaoke is with my daughter. We did Misery Business by Paramore.
Love.
Yeah, it was
that
great.
That is a really great song.
A solo too. I've done, this is an eye roll, Glycerin by Push, which is an easy one for a low voice guy like me.
Period.
Listen. Who's watching the eclipse on
Monday? Yeah, Eclipse Mania. Do we have it?
I don't know. I'm wondering, like, should I order glasses for
you
people?
You should. Okay, so Nicole, shout out to Nicole Phelps. She got glasses for Vogue Runway, sorry.
Rude, and not the rest of us?
Well.
Eclipse Moments at Condé Nast is not bad. I remember the last one. You go downstairs, out the southern entrance to the plaza. Everybody stands around, looks at the thing, or they have the cardboard thing where you can look at the thing safely or whatever. It's fun. It was a bonding moment.
Yeah, we're all doing it. Come on, get some glasses.
I'm ordering glasses now. Do we think 10 is enough? Should I do 20?
Glasses?
Yeah.
20 sounds good.
Yeah, okay. 20 sounds good. Bye.
Thanks, Jose. Thank you.
Bye.
The Run-Thru will be back in just a moment with Gillian Anderson.
We've all been there before. You're planning a dinner party or having family over or even just cooking for yourself when all of a sudden it starts to feel overwhelming.
I live in a very small one-bedroom apartment with a very small kitchen.
I can't figure out what to serve besides water soup at this point.
I'm Chris Morocco, food director of Bon Appetit and Epicurious, and this is Dinner SOS, a new podcast from Bon Appetit. Maybe it's a last-minute party with no menu inspiration, a kitchen with no space, a toddler who will only eat buttered pasta. Name your dinner emergency. We're here to help. Here's how the show works. On each episode, we'll take a call from a home cook facing a real dinner emergency. Then, I'll work with one of our editors or someone from our amazing test kitchen to try and solve it. Because cooking for the people you love should inspire joy without a side of stress. Make sure you're following Dinner SOS wherever you're listening now.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/runthrough today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/runthrough. Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? Maybe a chef-grade range made you want to hone your cooking skills, or a high-tech tennis racket made you want to work on your backhand. I recently bought a new pair of running shoes, and that made me love hitting the pavement again. Well, when we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. And we're back with Gillian Anderson, truly one of our favorite actors, me and Taylor.
Her latest project is called Scoop, and it's out today on Netflix. It's the story of how the women of the BBC's Newsnight secured Prince Andrew's now infamous interview. This was in 2019, and as we all remember, Prince Andrew famously fumbled his way through the interview, which was about his friendship and, encounters with Jeffrey Epstein. And the interview was such a disaster that he stepped back from public duty soon thereafter. And it's a sort of a behind-the-scenes dramatization of that.
And it's fun because it really does unfurl like a sort of a low-key thriller.
It's like a TikTok thriller. It's like a procedural of how they—
Not a TikTok thriller.
TikTok. It goes behind the scenes, and it gets into the kind of wrangling of talent that we know about at Vogue. But, I think it's actually quite truthful about that process and the high stakes preparation for the on-camera interview, which I found a lot of fun to watch. And I should say that the wonderful actress Billie Piper plays the lead role of Sam McAllister, who is sort of the BBC wrangler who brings in Prince Andrew. And she's fantastic in this movie.
Really fun.
Along with Keely Hawes and Rufus Sewell as Prince Andrew. It's a really fun cast.
As I was telling Taylor and our producers, I have known you since I was a young child. Yeah. And my fake aunt, who is my mother's best friend from the eighth grade, who is like a second mother to me, was Gillian's manager during The X-Files.
And also like a second mother to me.
And I used to go to the set of The X-Files with, I call her B, her name is Connie, with B. And she was reminding me of the time when she got in trouble because she took me to your trailer on the set of The X-Files and you were doing lines for the vagina monologues and I was nine.
Oh. She got in trouble by whom?
By Candace.
Right. I
don't think Chloe knows what a vagina is yet.
That's hilarious.
But then it made me realize that was a sort of a good precursor for your big vagina blossoming.
My vagina blossoming. Yeah, that's true. Eve Ensler and her vagina monologue. So I think I did one of the very first ones of those in the UK, and some of the women who were there doing it with us, it was Kate Winslet and Kate Blanchett.
Oh, my God.
It was the most extraordinary group of young actresses. And, obviously then it had a life of its own.
It really did.
Yeah.
I have to say, I lived in Ethiopia for a year after college, and there was a theater group there, and they were doing it with young Ethiopian women.
Amazing.
And I feel like that has continued to have a ripple effect. But suffice to say, when I was young, you were the first one I'd ever heard performing vagina monologues.
Or even saying the word vagina,
yes,
perhaps?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Has been uttered by Chloe many times since.
Yes, exactly. But it also made me think of your Golden Globes dress, which I just— it felt like a full circle for the vulva. And I think about when you used to go to all the award shows every year for X-Files. Mm. Has that process changed of getting ready for an award show? I feel like back then there was no celebrity stylist.
Yeah, I think when I first started, I mean, I first started going to award shows, I think, when I was, it would have been 25, maybe. Mm. The X-Files was getting quite early awards attention, and I didn't know what I was doing. And agents would get in touch with clothing companies and say, do you have any dresses you can send over for this young actress? And I'd arrive into Los Angeles from Vancouver where we were shooting, and there'd be a bunch of dresses lying on the bed, and I'd try them on in my own, just by myself, or maybe Connie would have been there or something, and just picked whichever one fit and didn't need to be altered, I think, because there was no tailor. It was just, you know, and that's kind of how it started. There were some early duds. There was
what's
a particular,
an example?
Oh, there was a particular early dud where I was post-baby. So Globes used to be, they were always in like, they were always in January, right?
In January. Yeah. And you had your daughter Piper.
In, September.
First season of X-Files,
first of
right?
all, yeah. So I got pregnant first season, had her second season. Went back to work 10 days later.
Yes.
But she was born September 25th and Globes would have been January. And
wow.
So when I went in my golden geisha outfit, I was still carrying quite a lot of baby weight and had not thought it through. And I remember there was one, I think it was a Daily Mail headline that called me Geisha Girl from Hell. And it made sense. Yeah. I look at that picture and think they were not too wrong.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you were just talking. I mean, you're on one of these, it seems like, unrelenting, you know, publicity tours and being in the public doing interviews like this. I mean, is it something that you get sort of better at or more accustomed to or happier doing or not so much? I mean,
when I first started out, I was awful.
Yeah.
I was so, I just could not. I think I was stuck in so much fear and had no experience and didn't know what I was talking about. And so, you know, and Connie loves telling these stories too because she was there in the background and they would say, you know, question every single time, early interviews for X-Files, do you believe in aliens? And I would... I would literally blank. I mean, as if I'd never heard the question before, and I'd have to go, sorry. Wait, okay, can you phrase that again? I just, it's like the...
And what was your answer?
Still can't come up with it.
I still can't come up with it, yeah.
It's sort of a conversation-stopping question, to be honest.
No, it's very true. It kind of
I mean, who
is.
Cares?
There was actually one point, I think, backstage at the Golden Globes where somebody asked me that, you know, at the back when you've got your award and you go back and you've got that row of press, there's like four tiers of press.
Oh my
and
God.
From the back, somebody said that. Like, I would just want a bloody Golden Globe. And somebody says, do you believe in aliens? And I think, audaciously, I said, are you fucking kidding me? I think I said that or something close to that. And I said, like, have you read any of my interview? You know, I was so, and that's what made the headline.
You know, yeah. Oh, I love it. It's actually a really good segue because Scoop, which I absolutely think you run away with. I liked the movie very much. I thought
your
performance.
Been very bullish on Julia.
I've been very bullish on your performance. And it's all about sort of the ethics and the procedure of getting interviews and what they're like. And that, of course, I'm a deputy editor of Vogue, and I'm at the center of a lot of wrangling that goes on at Vogue.
Right.
So, it looked like real stuff
to
me.
He's Billy Piper.
No, but I work with Billy Pipers.
Yeah, that's
plural.
True.
but I don't know. I wondered if that sort of behind-the-scenes BBC journalism stuff that this film captures was of interest to you. And maybe you could talk about the anchor that you play, Emily Maitlis.
I didn't realize she's like the Diane Sawyer of the UK, that she's that well known.
Yeah, she is. I mean, I love specifically journalism films.
Okay, good.
I just do. Yeah, I always have.
What are your favorites?
Well, All the President's Men, I think, is you know, second to none. And the
Spotlight?
Spotlight.
I love Spotlight.
I really like She Said, too, that came out last year or something. That was a good one.
I don't know why I find them incredibly comforting. And so there have actually been a couple films that I was offered over the years that I immediately said yes to because they were journalism films. And I used to actually be married to a war correspondent. And so feel like it's been in the periphery of my life experience and appreciation for some time. In reading this script for the first time and also listening to Emily's book and her reading of her book in preparation, I was fascinated by the stories of, you know, what goes on behind the scenes, how long it takes to secure the interviews. To your question about Emily, you know, in the UK, she is like our Diane Sawyer, and she's hugely respected. And she is famous also for a couple of speeches that she's made specifically when she recently left the BBC. What fascinates me about her, aside from the fact that she is, as we refer to in the film, a kind of a superwoman because of the fact that she is able to, despite her work and, you know, how massive her brain seems to be, that she still manages to go out and swim at 5 o'clock in the morning and to go for a run and to do interviews while she's running and is a, you know, an active parent to her children and all of that. So she's kind of a superwoman. But the fact that you can be in front of a Clinton or, you know, a world leader and still have access to all of the information that you might need in case it's needed.
Totally. Think on your
is
feet.
A talent that I certainly don't have. When I am in fear or something is going wrong or there's a distraction, I'm gone. My brain is gone. I can't. I'm like, sorry, can you just move? but also to be able to properly roll with the punches and to maneuver through the conversation so that you're not pushing too hard or they don't walk away or you know at what pitch to keep it so that you get what you want. As we see in the real Prince Andrew interview, she is a master of that. That was the joy of playing her and particularly doing that scene.
But I want people to know how funny your portrayal is because it's not this sort of reverential. I mean, I'm sure you have great respect for Emily Maitlis, but it's you are the comic relief in the movie, walking around with the whippet and within those suits and the sort of off-duty clothes. It's fantastic. Really, really
well, that's
funny.
That is how she dresses.
Yeah, okay.
And she's very funny.
Yeah, good.
She is really, really funny.
Well, I loved the line when she says, her character, you say, three women and a whippet. We wouldn't have seen that in a BBC studio.
Yeah, it really is a lot
when
of
I started. And you sort of feel that way watching the movie. I mean, it's a movie that passes the, you know, Bechdel test, so to speak. And you rarely see that. Is that something that you have to look out for in scripts? Does that often
it's so
come across?
Because when I hear, you know, that often comes up in interviews as we're doing, you know, but the amount of time, there was something that happened this morning when I was doing an interview with Billy Piper sitting next to me, and the way somebody had phrased the fact that, you know, three strong women at the heart, I thought, really?
Yeah.
It's like when you have to ask women about being a woman director.
Yeah. Yeah. Three strong men there's three strong men in this film. you know, you just, anyway, so one day we will get beyond that. But today we are still there where it is unique enough that we have to, to address it. We are.
I mean, let us not forget that Rufus Sewell is in this movie and is quite something as Prince Andrew.
Yeah, he's extraordinary.
He's super funny,
too. Yeah, he is.
Hey, I'm Molly Sims.
And I'm Emisha Gormley.
We are two best friends with one common obsession.
Beauty.
And by that, we mean everything that makes you look
and feel
beautiful. We tried it all, and we've got your back. We'll be calling on all our favorite health experts, industry insiders, and friends to answer all your beauty questions. Consider us your beauty 411, and sometimes your 911.
From how to fix brassy hair
to the pros and cons of laser facials,
and always with a cocktail in hand.
Always. So be prepared to be obsessed. Check out Lipstick on the Rim wherever you get your podcasts.
I had sort of a career question because I was so excited to talk to you. I mean, of course, I love The X-Files. I'm of the age where I watched that in college and was obsessed with it. But the thing I think about you are these moments in your career where you seem to have surprised everybody with what you can do. I think of House of Mirth, which was just a film I absolutely loved, I think from like 2000 or something like that. And then The Fall, that strikes me as another moment where, oh my gosh, you can play this sort of very hard-driving, formidable detective. And I guess I think of Sex Education as this sort of very comic and earthy character, and here yet again with Scoop. And so I guess
Margaret Thatcher.
Oh, yes.
And Eleanor Roosevelt.
Yes, there are
and
a lot,
Wallace
there are a lot
Simpson.
And I mean, I don't even just run through your CV, but I feel like there are these really interesting reinventions in your career, and I wonder if you are someone who looks to stretch yourself or if that just comes along the way.
It's a mixture of things. I've been incredibly lucky. I mean, even from the moment when I was offered House of Mirth, you know, that was in the middle of me doing X-Files when all I'd done is two or three seasons of the X-Files. And I think he had never seen the X-Files, Terrence Davies.
Amazing.
He only That's cast amazing. Me because of my face, and he could imagine me as
a
perfect Lily Bart. And I wasn't crazy about that fact. I thought that he was casting me because he thought that I could actually, that I had the chops to do it. But hey-ho. But then when I moved to the UK, and the first thing that I was offered was Bleak House, you know,
yeah,
and I've spoken about this before, which is I couldn't believe that they were offering to me. It was like what I had always dreamed of doing, and that I thought in one way that the X-Files kind of sidelined me from doing was that kind of, you know, like Merchant Ivory type stuff.
Totally,
and so when they offered that to me, I asked them, I said, what makes you think that I can do this? Because I think I can do this. But, you know, I was like, hell yeah, I will take it. You know, I make the final choices, and I am drawn to, you know, complex women. And like with The Fall, when that script landed on my desk, it was like a sigh of relief. It was like,
really?
It was so clear from the writing that it was just so spare. And I knew instantly who she was on the first third of the page just because of how good, you know, it didn't have to be explained or, you know. And Al Cubitt, who wrote that, wrote it for me. I remember after I read it, and he said, I wrote this with you in mind. And, you know, that brings me to tears.
Yeah.
You know? And so that was a real, that was a gift. And also with Sex Education, the fact that they came to me, you know, it was, again, I probably would have asked at that moment, what makes you think I can do this?
Well, you were the straight woman, like Mulder and Scully. Scully was the straight woman,
yeah, she
right?
Was. So,
so to show that you had comedic range meant like another part.
I like that Sex Education is sort of, I don't know, I really enjoy following you on Instagram and your yoni of the day.
Yeah, thank
and,
you.
And
here we are back.
It's all going to come back to the vulva.
Fine by me.
And we had we didn't finish describing to everyone that Gabriella Hearst, who is a friend, made you an amazing dress for the Golden Globes with embroidered vulvas on it, beautifully embroidered.
So I had I knew that I was going to be going to the Golden Globes. I wasn't nominated. And because I, since Sex Education, have started a functional drinks brand called G-Spot. The conversation has continued, let's just say. And, you know, so much of what we talk about within that brand, as much as anything, is inclusivity and support of women, and specifically women having the freedom to ask for what it is that they want in their lives, embrace who they are, everything that they are. And so it's been an ongoing conversation. And so I just, you know, I had the thought of wearing a dress that had vaginas on it and texted Gabriella, who said, sure. And then we had a Zoom about it. And she sent me some sketches. I sent her the kind of vagina that I wanted. And she,
I can't wait for you to rewear that to a wedding.
And then she sent sketches. And then when the dress arrived, because it literally arrived, there was no fitting. I arrived in Los Angeles for the Golden Globes, and the dress arrived in Los Angeles from being made in New York by the wonderful craftswoman. And I put it on. It was a work of art. It was crafted so beautifully. It was couture, and no adjustments needed to be made. I mean, it was amazing. Amazing.
And you have a book of letters that you...
So the book is called Want, and Bloomsbury is putting it out, and it is a contemporary answer in a way to Nancy Friday's My Secret Garden, which came out in, I think, 1973. And what Nancy had done at that time is she had put a call out to women to send letters, anonymous letters to her, talking about their sexual fantasies. And so I did the same. I asked women from around the world. And, you know, my original idea for it was that, you know, that it would be a cross-section of humanity to submit letters, protected, you know, completely anonymous, and that we would get them from all corners of the world and be able to sift through them, and that we'd be able to see to the degree that things have or have not changed, you know, with from the 60s, from sex and love to, sexual revolution to, you know, through to the present day when, you know, porn is a $1 billion industry. And there were so many shows on television like Sex Education where everything is front and center, and the degree to which that may or may not have changed what women think about personally, privately, when they think about sex or when they fantasize. And so, you know, I think we got about 8,000 people starting a letter.
Okay.
So 8,000 people had gone into the portal. And then I think it was about 800 people who finished a letter. Mm. A lot of people started, not everybody finished. And out of those, we've chosen about 174, I think, which is still a lot. And it was a big deal.
Yeah.
Going through them. And, you know, we've absolutely done our best. And I've done the final cut and the final edit and written
it's out in
introductions.
September?
Yeah. Out in September.
Wow.
Fantastic.
What a cool project.
Yeah.
Okay. We have to wrap.
Okay.
Jillian's on to the next.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
It
was
so
a great
fun to talk
pleasure.
To you. I'm such a fan.
God,
so
I can't
really
believe
nice
you're on
you.
So your lightning round.
I know.
Now, that is it for today's episode, and Choma will be back next week. Have no fear. See you then.
Thanks, Chloe. That's great. Cool sign off. Really enjoyed it. See you guys later.
The Run Through with Vogue is a production of Condé Nast. The show is produced by Susie Lechtenberg, Chelsea Daniel, and Alex John Burns, with engineering from Jake Loomis, Gabe Quiroga, and James Yost. It is mixed by Mike Kutchman. Chris Bannon is Condé Nast's head of global audio.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
Do you ever see a new face or name on your news feeds and say, who the heck is that?
Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't. The New Yorker says we spelunk deep into the demimonde with convivial delight. That's a direct quote.
Mostly, we're going to explain to you Irish star Barry Keoghan's sudden rise to fame and relationship with a not-so-under-the-radar pop princess named Sabrina.
The fake wedding Real Housewives star Cynthia Bailey had to promote a limo rental company.
And why all the Gen Zers you know are talking about a guy named Benson Boone.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest celebrity stories of the moment. And if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we answer the most burning celebrity queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
From PRX.